This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And so we're sitting down with the distributors.
Well, you have to. I mean, people think these things just show up. No, there's real people
there
doing the work on
to
the other end.
Send it to actually yeah. send it.
No, it has to get distributed. I just hate how everyone's like so entitled where it's like, oh, my stuff got distributed. It's like, mm-hmm. no, someone distributed it.
And so I'm speaking with Buenaventura Distribution, and they say
you have to. You have to talk to
them. We're so excited, but we have a really exciting announcement and possibility for you. You know, the release window is upended. It's like the game has completely changed in terms of theatrical and home distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is like so exciting. We really think we can do something different with it. I think I showed this movie to you. It's a history of karate.
I've probably seen it. Yes, it's not. It's documentary style, but there's mm-hmm. no documentary footage.
There's no footage. It's people talking about the history of karate. It deals with trans issues as well, but I think in a really good way.
In a holistic way.
Yes, in a way that's like very natural to the thing, but it's like timely, and I don't know.
It's connected to karate, and it's a lot of you. It's a lot of you talking about your experience with karate, which has been such a big part of your life. And I love when people put themselves into the documentary in this way, where it's like gives this human element of like, yeah, I guess I thought I knew what karate was, but when I hear about Haze Man doing karate, punching
yeah.
kicks,
yeah.
kicking the wood, now I think, oh, this is neat.
Mm-hmm. And I can't do it. The room's too small for me to do it.
Of course.
In the room.
Of course.
The camera would be crushed.
No, we never see you do it, but you tell a lot of stories of how good you are at it and times mm-hmm. that you've actually gotten out of some pretty hairy situations with your karate.
And so they say, this is really exciting. We're going to do simultaneous window for this where mm-hmm. it will go in theaters and the trash at the same time.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you talking? I don't want it to go in the trash.
And oh, they say, well, no, you this don't is think like, you do. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. They're like this. So yes, I and they explain to me, I'm sort of like trapped in like the old way of thinking of things. But what will happen is it gets theatrical one day for awards, and then simultaneously the trash man will come and put the movie in. And when he's picking up
yes.
the people's trash, he will put the movie in the trash.
Yes. So their empty bin will now have a single item in it, which will be your movie. And
yes.
by the way, identity theft is a major problem in this country, and people are
yes.
going through each other's trash and getting their mail and getting, guess what, now your movie.
Now the movie. And I'm like, so what is it, like a DVD? Is it like a thumb drive? And they're like, no, it's like the whole reel.
Mm-hmm.
The actual, like, three reels of film
yes.
will go in the trash. I'm like, okay, isn't that like, it could catch on fire or something? Because it's like outside in the hot
absolutely. Yeah.
bin. And they're like, yeah, we hope so. We hope so.
Well, think about this. Think about the news then.
The movie caught fire on the news.
Literally, you turn on the news and it's like, blah, blah, blah. President, what's his name? Did another dumbass.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
look at this movie on fire.
The movie's on fire.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook
and
Insider's Guide to
Kicking
Butt and
Dropping
Names.
Dropping names in this red carpet linebacker hall.
Wow, it's so exciting when we have a guest come back who is not even the same guest that he was when we first had that. we see this guy, and okay, to look the same, but to
right?
be
or maybe even a little better,
and to look actually much better,
and to look
very
younger,
good, yes,
and to look so good,
but to say, okay, this is the same guy as before. No, he's actually doing a lot of different stuff. And so we know Mookie from before.
We met Mookie.
Yes.
I know Mookie. People ask me, do you know Mookie? I go, yeah, I know Mookie. I thought I knew Mookie.
And so then we say, what's Mookie doing now? And then we hear, oh, Mookie's actually doing this new thing. And we say, okay, well, maybe it's time to have Mookie back on. And we know, and let's talk about this. Mookie, Lil Mookie B is here. And we welcome you to the show, and I'd like for you to just say your piece for a little bit. And so if Mookie could just say his piece and as we go forward.
Okay, it's okay of me to talk right now. Thank you guys for having of me. Big fans. Your guys are big fans. And, you know, my piece is that I am full of gratitude of being here today. I, you know... people who listen to me know that I spread of love and positivity on the internet. And, you know, I don't ever want anyone to think that I am confined to one space. And that is my own mm-hmm. podcast. I would like to spread of my message of other podcasts. And you two were gracious enough to have me back. And I do appreciate of you saying that I look better than last time. I have lost a lot of weight since then. And that is not to fat shame my old self, but I do look better now. And I'm happy to sort of just, you know, be here and, you know, widen my already wide audience. And, you know, I don't really know what else to say, and I can keep talking and I will. And
that's good. No, that's you can definitely stop right now. That's great.
Great. Thank you.
And I do want to say, when I said before that you look good, that you look better, because yes, you have lost a lot of weight. It's different, right?
Yeah,
you know how
course.
It's different.
Well, we of yes. course can be positive about all kinds of bodies. Body positivity is not just, you know, confined to bodies that are unconventionally attractive.
Yes, and that's really true. And so people remember from the last time.
If I could chime in on this, because this is a topic that I actually okay. am really passionate about. I have been positive about some of the worst bodies you could ever imagine. Mm. And that's not, oh, I'm so great, I'm this hero, look at me. It's literally just how I feel and who I am. And I just live in this place of acceptance now, thanks largely to some of what I have heard, Lil Mookie B, on your podcast and seen on your TikTok page.
I love that you said that.
Opened me up in this way.
I love that you're saying this.
It was making me start to see, oh, wow, I can be positive about bodies that are truly disastrous. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't cost me a dime. And I would just see a body that 10 years ago, 25 years ago, I would have looked away and just gone, I'm going to stare at this and actually make some comments about it, some lewd comments. Mm. And kind of gas this person up a little bit who's in front of me at the bank or whatever. So
what does that sound like? And can we just do a little example of that? What that sound? You don't have to like describe the body or anything.
Yeah, but, no, I'll do. Like, yeah, no, I'll just. Do
and maybe
it here.
Mookie is giving this could actually be a great first lesson where Mookie is showing you. He hears how you're being positive about a body that you see at the bank. And Mookie's showing you a direction for that.
So, yeah. So, a body that anybody you want to imagine steps
okay,
in front
so
of
yeah,
the bank.
Okay, so, yeah. My friend Sean and I are going to the bank together. And
I see it and I sort of take it in and I make this face. And then I say, okay, Grandma bought the stuffing.
And then, of course, it's my responsibility as a person with empathy to step in and say, Sean, hold on. Let's take a breath. Let's think about what we're saying. Now, actually, I'm confused. Is that stuffing comment positive or negative?
It's so positive. And okay. Maybe I can clarify. I go, Grandma brought the stuffing. Okay. And the mashed potatoes.
Okay. Okay. So I don't know that there's anything to teach here since you are doing exactly, you know, as I've taught. And that is to say that, you know, when we see a body that would be, you know, unappealing to, let's say, society at large, that we would look upon it and say something nice about it rather than say something out loud mean about it. You know what I mean? We would say that we now have the sort of empathy, the willingness to change enough to say something out loud about somebody's body that is positive.
Well, and I committed the crime so long of staying silent and not making a comment on people's bodies at all. And I'm saying at the bank, at the grocery store, on the street, I was just really committing thought crimes by looking at, thinking about the body and keeping it all inside. And now I'll just come right out and I go, grandma brought the stuffing.
Yeah. And I don't think it's necessarily, you know, I think that people maybe like you think it's totally impossible to say something nice about somebody or somebody who has a physical appearance that is unappealing to you. And, you know, it's, I think people don't even realize, and this is something I learned in therapy, or I sort of came to a conclusion of after a therapy session, was that, like, you know, you can go up to somebody and if they're not necessarily appealing to you physically, you can say like, hey, I love your hat. You know what I mean? Like, you can still say something nice that's still a part of their body, even though it rests atop it.
I wouldn't say it that way, but I would say, but something like that actually could be really powerful. And I intend to add that arrow to my quiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mookie, I wanted to sort of like what people remember, I think, of the past Mookie is being the number one Chiba Hawk.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
And you used to say,
sup, I hit that.
Mr. Mookie used to say, sup, I hit that.
Okay.
Sup, I hit that.
And well, so, like, yeah, go ahead. Have you, like, moved on from this completely or, like, what?
Yeah, I not to say that my, you know, and of course I was so appreciative to have of, you know, that exposure that you provided of me at that time. What was that, about 5 years ago?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't remember either. It was such a long time ago since you've had me on. And, you know, I appreciate the sort of, you know, the people on Reddit, the people of Twitter saying we love Chiba Hawk, whatever. But, you know, as my, and again, as my listeners know, and I feel like I'm a broken record of this point, but, you know, my comedy, you know, I've had my poo poo pee pee phase. I've done my little comedies in the past. And, you know, not
me
to say
too.
That
I had the big phase of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, it doesn't mean that it does not have validity of my life, of my past, of my history, of who I am now. But, you know, a few months ago when I started attending therapy, I sort of awakened, is the word, something out of myself that said, you know, I finally changed after not realizing that I could change, after not realizing that I needed to change. And I can't see how I can go out of the world now and not tell other people to change and help them to change and fix them. And so that's kind of where my focus has been. I mean, that's not to say that I don't have pilots in development right now, but they're less comedy and more sort of drama, as in to call them dramedy.
They're more true. Well, it sounds like you've found your actual voice.
Mm.
And so it would make total sense to me that artistically you would flourish and that you wouldn't move out of the industry, but in fact you would just move it to another facet of it where
a sort of pivot within the industry.
And it's I mean you give me little teases about some of what you're working on, but I know that it is going to be really powerful what you do, and that you are doing sort of an emotional version of The Swan being the reality show where women competed to have thousands of dollars of plastic surgery done on themselves as the prize and would come out looking, you know, having emerged as a swan from what they thought was an ugly duckling, and that you are going to take people and change their brains and personalities. So that they actually can be something society would like and accept.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like therapy is sort of a surgery of the mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that show is just, I don't want to give away too much here because we're like this close to a deal. But, you know, I'm sitting these people down and just going, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, that's my scalpel. Yes. That is my scalpel.
Uh-huh.
That's my scalpel. And that's all I have to say.
Well, if they're ready to answer, boy, oh boy, that's reconstructive surgery right there. Huh?
Exactly. And you know, that is, and it's like, you know, they say that therapy isn't brain surgery, but like it is brain surgery. It's not physical brain surgery.
It is brain surgery.
Yeah, it's not like I'm removing a vein from your brain, from your main brain, your main vein in your brain, but I am rewiring of the wires that we do not see to reroute the thoughts that are negative into a different place.
That's so interesting, Mookie, that this is
it is.
Because I've been doing a sort of a similar thing where like recently my sensibility has been shifting towards the more truthful side of comedy as well. And like, I also used to be like a Mr. Poo Poo Pee Pee guy. And like, I love that guy. Like, I look back at him and I'm like, oh, he's like, so like, I actually really love him. But now like, it is so much more about honesty for me. And people say like, this is so great because like the industry is actually moving this way as well. And like, we don't like the other stuff is not as like commercially viable, and we are buying more of this content. And I'm like, oh my God, holy shit, that's crazy. Are you kidding me?
That
this
it coincided like, exactly with my own personal evolution. And I'm like, what was tapped into in this sort of collective consciousness, right?
And this maybe I did this. Maybe it was like, I started to change the way I was
thinking.
And maybe
I did too.
Yeah. And
you may have. Yeah. I don't know. And I don't know if it was right after us or if it was the same time or just a little bit after. But
Mookie, the fact that this has been like commercially also like such a huge thing for you, in addition to happening spiritually, like talk about this. This is like crazy, right? This is like what? Like, wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't want to necessarily say that I've shifted this way because the industry is or because I felt that this was a more sellable product of myself. You know, this is me. And like Sean said, and I'm very similar to Sean in this way, is that, you know, this did sort of coincide with like, you know, oh, this is this sort of shift of the industry of going comedy isn't funny anymore is sort of like coincided or lined up perfectly of the time, you know, this is a sellable thing. And then I think of myself at this time where I go, well, this is a sellable thing. And, you know, of me, this new perspective that I have, this is sellable. And that's not to say that I'm out here doing this to make money.
You know, it's when you're not looking that you're going to find it, isn't it? Stop seeking and you'll find it. It's right under your nose. Oh, as soon as I started being myself, yes, that's when all of a sudden myself is what people actually craved and desired and wanted to financially reward.
Of course. You know, the one thing I want to say is look at the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
We go, this is the way that it's been done for years and years and years and years. And okay, you put up some good numbers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
I can concede that. Yeah.
But then and then we start to see a change, right? We start to see, you know, people wanting to tell different kinds of stories, things like that, and there's some resistance because this is not what we're used to. But then we finally give the people the opportunity to tell the stories that haven't been told and look at the numbers, look at the views, look at the box office, look at the dollars, look at the reach, look outside your window and look how people are different just from this. You know what I mean?
And these like short little videos, like you look in the, like they play it so many times. And when you look in the thing that says like, here's how many people had an impression of this. And you're showing it to people and you're like, holy shit, look at all this. This is like a million guys. And they're like, well, not everyone like really watched it. They're just like going through it. And it's like, no, actually they did. They actually did watch the entire thing and they were thinking about it. And they're like, no, it's just like, it was just like passing through their feed and they didn't really watch it. But yeah, they did actually.
These are the stories that need to be told. This is my story. I am a straight white man who went to therapy and, you know, I look at my podcast, you know, we can do plugs later, but I look at my podcast.
Yeah.
I look at my, you know, TikTok analytics. And,
yes.
You know, we're talking 6-7% female. Holy. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Jesus, man. From what? From zero what
was it,
or one?
What was it before?
From zero, probably, because I wasn't catering to, you know, the beautiful queens who need it most.
Yeah.
Who need mm-hmm. my help. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was ignoring them and just going, I'm making poo-poo pee-pee jokes for guys. Yeah, right?
Right.
I'm pooping guys, and peeing please, for no. guys. And I wasn't speaking and listening.
I did
for
so
women.
Much of that. I did so much of that, pooping no, and peeing.
We yeah. all did. We might still. I don't, but
no. And
might I, later. Yeah,
I look. I, mean, I have might affection. Later. I have affection for that version of myself and of you. And I do. I feel bad for him, honestly.
But if someone wanted to do that, I could absolutely do that again,
dude. Yes.
Well, of course, it's not
with
you know, it,
but
it's...
with an ironic wink now.
Yeah, or even
don't you
not
think?
If,
no, I do it straight it... up. I do it straight up.
Yeah. Well, we are who we are, you know.
Yeah, sure.
That you know that unless... that poo poo pee pee was yeah. in me was in you. Mm-hmm. There's always poo poo and pee pee in me.
Yeah.
But
no, nobody's just one thing, you know, but to embrace true
exactly.
side
yeah.
of yourself.
No,
yeah.
that was
real
the point I was
going to
make. Yeah, that was the yeah. point I was going to make
was gonna
if you let me
that.
Finish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
No, you just were not. You were not saying it. So I
right,
so
right.
I said it, you know.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. Yeah. And I was getting there. Yeah.
Mookie, how many times I know therapy was like such a huge experience for you.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did you do that?
How many times did I go to therapy?
Yeah.
I go once weekly.
So you've been...
So if you, what, if you times that
time?
By about... No. I go once every week. I started going about mid last year.
Okay.
And I go once weekly. So what is that? About 4 weeks in a year times how many... You know, somewhere around 20 or 30 times I've been.
Okay. That's like a lot.
And with no end in sight.
So you're gonna keep going.
I don't see how I couldn't. I'm you know.
And so you've been doing the show and been doing TikTok stuff for a little while. So that you started to talk about this after you'd been to therapy, maybe like five or six times. Is that?
Yeah, you know. Well,
you just said look at the numbers. So we're just yeah. really looking at some of the numbers.
Yeah,
or
well,
maybe even just like after your first time you started doing.
Yeah, because yeah. mid last year sounds right, or maybe even a little before that you started doing some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, I started doing TikToks about February of last year, and that was before I had attended a therapy, and I had sort of been, you know, well, okay, I guess we're gonna get vulnerable. I
wow.
was oh not in gosh. A great mental place. I was what is called, I was just about to hit of a bottom
no.
of my life. I no. was,
don't do that.
Angry all the time. I was depressed. You know, women were ignoring me completely
and
utterly.
Not allowed.
And, you know, it was sort of like, why continue going in the direction that I'm going? You know, I could see the bottom coming up, and I was like, I hope I hit it hard.
No, you didn't.
I hope
say
I hit
that.
It hard enough to. I did. I might have said that, and you know, I had sort of been on. I got to TikTok by way of Instagram, and I had sort of seen these messages.
That's
of
very lucky.
Yeah,
you know, God sends an angel sometimes, right?
Yep,
and. You're in Instagram, which, you know, that app is just a cesspool, and just, you know, the yeah. horrible like comparisons people make between themselves and each other and these fake lives they present. But wouldn't you know it that in the, you know, in the dirtiest swamp grew a beautiful flower for you, which was TikTok, which is a really positive, good app.
Yeah.
That people actually can be themselves the way that you were able to.
Yeah. You know, it's like you said, it's sort of like the universe, God, whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't necessarily, but I
call it God.
Yep. And I am not religious. I am spiritual. I do believe in spirits that sit atop clouds with beards. And I, you know, one of them must have sent me one way because I was on my Instagram Discover page one day and it was
like,
okay.
Soul?
I have seen Soul. Yeah, I loved it.
And I do want to talk about this, Mookie. This is so interesting that we talk about, like, God doesn't have to be a guy with, like, a beard that just, like, sits on a cloud. It could be a woman,
or it could be anything.
Or it could be a lot of those guys.
Could be the other.
It could be a bunch of guys. It could be, like, a group of guys with
beards.
Could be
50 guys with beards.
Yes.
Who are all basically in the same, like, sky frat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just all chip in on, like, whatever the cloud costs are, you know, and get together, and some one of them is like more of an organizer and there's like a hierarchy. But it could easily be, you know, people have this sort of like this old-fashioned idea of like God is this guy with a beard on a cloud, and it might be 50 or 25 guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it might be like the tree outside of your window, you know. It might be the doorknob of your door. It might be this water bottle. Do you know what I mean? Like, could I give any more examples to show you that it could be anything?
That was really, I mean, and I also think people like can go listen to your show for like, for more examples.
Yeah.
Right?
For people who didn't see too, he has a water bottle that he held up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a gift from my agent. Christmas gift. So I was watching Instagram Discovery and, it was, again, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it. There was two options to click on to scroll through a theme of videos. One was cooking videos, you know, like restaurants and they're taking tacos and dipping them in sauce or whatever.
So cool. Yes.
And then the other one. Yeah, no, those are cool and they have their own merit. But the other one was this video of like this young teenage couple that was very good looking. And they were talking about how this is like, my girl is sad, so I'm going to, you know, buy her the snacks of her that she loves, and I'm going to go to the store and buy her like gummy worms and Reese's Pieces and stuff.
Okay, relationship goals.
Yeah, exactly. And I was sort of like, look at this nice life that these people get to just show everybody what they're doing all the time, even if it's boring or considered boring of the general public. And I
but
found
that
my
stuff's
way-
not boring to us. But that stuff's
exactly.
not boring to us.
Exactly.
We are interested in, hello, human beings.
Yes.
You know, Reese's Pieces. Okay. And you're buying that for your girl of her snacks of her choosing.
Exactly. And that these people aren't afraid to sort of put themselves out there and just go like, here's my life. Just, you know, take it or leave it. But this is what I do. And you might think that gummy worms and Reese's Pieces are not a gourmet snack. You might think that I should be getting Parmesan crisps of Whole Foods. But I am... just, you know, we are just kids and we are being who we are. Anyways, I'm going off of
I love it. And when you strip away Mookie the bullshit,
yeah,
and the artifice, right, of I'm gonna present this image, I'm gonna be in my makeup and I'm gonna be eating my kale smoothie,
yeah,
and you say, hey, let's have some Reese's Pieces and let's just be in our sweatpants for a change and let people really see that, because let's face it, that's what we're doing. You find out nobody relates to perfect.
Mm.
What they relate to is real. And that's when you have so much sauce.
Mm.
When you can be real, that's so much sauce.
Mm.
Oh, that's saucy. People think sauce is high fashion. People think sauce is bling, right?
Mm.
And kale smoothie. And what sauce is really just being real. That's so much sauce.
Sorry, I had to leave.
Please don't apologize.
For a minute.
I didn't even notice.
Everyone was being a little bit loud. And so I just thought, like, I just have to, just for a second, I just have to go. But just like, just so you know, everyone was, and I'm excited that Mookie is here too. But everyone is just being a little bit loud. Is
you're
that okay?
Saying everyone, you're saying everyone, and you're saying you're excited Mookie is here, and it sounds like you're just saying I'm being loud.
And so but look, I'm also excited that Mookie's here, but everyone like is like responding to that by being loud.
Mm.
And when that happens, that means that I have to leave for a little bit.
Mm. Well, thank you for being honest.
Hey, gang, looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the mom in your life? Well, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. You can find the hottest, most beautiful pictures of your mom for Aura's annual MILG event. MILG, that's Mom I'd Like to Gift. This Mother's Day, let your mom know you'd love to gift her. She's a MILG. Tell her that. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts, even the friends in your life, they all can be MILGs. They're moms, and you'd like to gift them. So go ahead and find the most gorgeous pictures of your MILG, upload it to an Aura frame, give it to her, and you will be awarding her with the best digital photo frame as named by Wirecutter. Selected as one of Oprah's favorite things? Okay, that's big MILG energy. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to MILGs of all ages. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. That's right, listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Celebrate your MILG!
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kevin, do you, and I just, sorry, I just had to leave again for one more second. Kevin, do we want to start with, because Mookie has helped so many guys and so many women. Do you want to read him some questions that you have from other people and he can help them?
Yes. Okay, Mookie.
Oh, wow.
Here's a question.
I'm sort of in the hot seat right now. I'm sort of the very hot seat.
Well, yeah, but we told you, you know, you come on here.
I know.
I know the lights are never too bright for you. you know, whether it's Chiba Hawk and Poo Poo Pee Pee and all the stuff you've done in the past, you always deliver. And so we did want to hear, you know, because it honestly, at the end of the day, it's about helping people.
Mm.
It's about helping people.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, this question is, what do you say to interviewers when they ask, what motivates you?
I don't understand the question.
Totally.
Are you saying are these questions that are specifically for me, or are they general questions?
The questions, that's a great question, actually. And is that question for me, or is that a general question?
That's whoever would like to answer the question.
Okay, I'll pass on that one then.
I would say whoever knows the answer of the question would be the one to answer it.
You want that? Well, in that case, these are questions for you.
Okay. So these are questions specifically for me. So what would I... Could you read the question again, Kevin?
Sure. What do you say to interviewers when they ask, what motivates you?
So if I'm being interviewed and they ask me...
I could actually rephrase this question in a way that might be a little bit helpful. What motivates you?
What motivates me? Wow. The look on someone's face when they realize that I've done something great.
Yeah.
For them or for myself. Do you know what I mean? Like
it's the reflection of yourself that you see in loved ones, and being able to say, you know, people say, I love the guy I see in the mirror now that I've changed, and that's true. But actually my favorite mirror is the pupils of a child who's watching me do, you know, have skateboarding or
absolutely, you know. And it's interesting, I think if you had asked me this question a year ago, 6 months ago, I might say, what motivates me? I would probably say, honestly, you know, money, fame, attention, greed. I probably would have said those things, but thank God, thank whatever you call it, that I'm getting this question now.
Right? It's embarrassing to think, but no, I was motivated by some of those things.
Yeah.
Some of our more base desires, right?
Yeah.
Down in the root chakra.
And I think that people don't realize that, like, you know, when others are happy, it does make you more happy. It puts more happiness, love, positivity out into the world, so that when you step outside of your door, you walk into a world that is full of more love and positivity, made put there by you. Or me, or whoever is
helping people is investing in the bank of your own happiness.
Absolutely. I love that.
And my accounts are so, so big. My accounts are huge.
You're a rich man, you'd say.
I would say that I am currently, yes, I've had had some setbacks lately, but yes, overall, I'd say I'm rich.
What motivates you, Sean? And try not to say the same thing I did.
No, I won't. I would say it's just seeing the look on someone's face of like if they've when I've done something good.
I love that. Great answer.
For them or me. Uh-huh. But what motivated me, if you had asked me even a week ago, I would have said probably to defeat Hayes. You know, to be like, everything was a competition with him, and my motivation was always that I was going to beat him or be better somehow, and he would lose and I would win. But now that he has left the show permanently, and I just don't see him anymore, I realize that wasn't a good motivation, because there's an end to it, right? Anytime what's motivating you is finite, you're going to find out that when you get there, Mookie, you're all out of sauce. And I don't ever want to be out of sauce. So I do keep striving, and the idea of just helping people, that's never going to be finished. That's a job I gladly take on, and I'd like to be the CEO of it and the janitor of it and the list a number of other positions throughout.
Do you go to therapy, Sean?
I've been looking at it. I'm shopping, window shopping a little bit. So I'll sort of go to therapy offices and sort of chill out outside the door and kind of see what I overhear and it's be, you know, see if it's, if it seems like kind of advice that it could apply to me.
Right. I mean,
which in a way is going.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you're, it seems like you do, you're spitting fire, but, you know, I think of how much better you would be at life if you did attend a therapy, even at the perspective that you're at now. Do you know what I mean? Like, think of how even better you
could
be.
That's scary. That's scaring me.
I know it is scary. Change is scary. Things you haven't tried are scary, but we have to try them or else we won't ever try them.
Oh, holy shit. That was a gut punch to hear. Yeah.
You miss 100% of the shots you do not make.
Holy shit. Mm. That's therapy, said that?
That's therapy. In a nutshell, that's not, you know, that's a quick representation of what therapy is, but
Hayes, what happened? I was trying
to
be quieter.
Wow, that was really interesting. That was a really good experience. People were still being really loud, so I did have to leave again. And I basically did a hard reset of sort of my entire brain. And Kevin was texting me, like, where'd you go? He's sending me all these links, and he was being extremely toxic. And just, like, I was gone for 1 second, and immediately he's like, come back. Like, come back now. And it's like, first of all, you work for me. I am your entire world now. And, like,
I'm sorry that you felt it was toxic.
Okay, but that's not a real apology.
I said I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you said, I'm sorry you felt I was toxic. What you're supposed to say is, I'm sorry that I'm so toxic.
I'm sorry I'm so toxic that you felt that way.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Thank you. That's really nice. Thank you.
Abandonment issues.
Okay, and I'm feeling this as well.
Much.
So much of experiencing your own growth is realizing that you do need space to be allowed to change and grow, and you need to afford others that space. So if Hayes needs to leave for an entire episode and just say that was too loud, that's okay, because that's my friend taking care of himself.
It's actually better than okay. It's actually really good if that happens. And Kevin, what did we do? Did you read any of the questions that you
gathered?
We're
due for another one.
You did one already, and now we're doing a second one. That's great. And Mookie's helping people this way.
Mm-hmm. He is. The next question is, what's something you did once that you'll never try again?
That's such a question.
Misogyny.
Wow, that stopped me absolutely cold. You did that once?
I tried it once, and man, it did not feel good for me especially, let alone the woman it was done upon.
Okay, so you want to talk about the time that happened, or you just want to move on?
I don't really know if I do. I mean, I can, but I'm just, you know, one thing I'm trying to do is, like, move forward. You know what I mean? I can't invent a time machine and go back in time and make it so that I didn't do a misogyny, but, like, I...
Was it someone in your family?
No, it was a romantic partner of mine.
Wow, okay.
And I didn't...
That narrows it down, not.
No, I know. And of course, you know, I won't reveal anything for the, you know, out of respect for this woman. But, you know, I was not prioritizing of this person, and, you know, which is on me. And, you know, that person confronted me of that and said, you know, you're not making me of a priority in your life. And I said something along the lines of, like, that's just what a woman would say, isn't it? And it's, I, you know, and the
and
look on
should not, God. Probably should not have shared that story.
Yeah.
Not, like, nope.
And I mean, she withheld sex for months after that. And I, you know, and I have to look at my responsibility of that. And
yeah,
it really sucked. And I ended up breaking up with her.
Yeah.
But, you know,
You were getting horny.
Yeah. You know what?
Well,
I mean,
you're not going to go. I've known you for a while. You're not going to go months. You're not going to go months.
Yeah. No. And I didn't, and I don't, and I haven't. But, you know,
the movie 40 Days and 40 Nights, like, that's like a month and 10 days. And he was, like, ready to explode, basically. Yeah.
I remember seeing that with you, Mookie, and you were ripping the seats out of the theater. You were so upset at the idea of this man, busting.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I, whatever, you know, to each and every one and their own in terms of body autonomy, but I just don't think it's, but again, it's not, not, you know, I'm, that person can, take 40 days and 40 nights off of, and I can do it every once or twice a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's,
is that the start?
You can do it that much? That's like the frequency that you like are able to do it?
And as someone who's famously, I'm sex negative, so I am going to bow out of this conversation, and I'm going to mute it and probably turn off my video. I encourage you to have this, and I think everyone should have a platform to discuss this stuff. I am sex negative, and I do not think these things should be discussed publicly or even really looked at within ourselves. So that
we don't have to. I was just like, the frequency with which people can do it, I think, is interesting for me, and I think everyone should share that, and I think it should be in like on your,
in a book,
like not your driver's license, but like in some like like civic document
the government should have it.
Absolutely. And so, because it's like, and it's different for everyone too. It could honestly be used as like an identification system. It's as specific as a fingerprint, how often you're able to do this thing. And so if it's like once or twice a week for Mookie, that's interesting. That's part of who he is.
That would be interesting to me. Yeah. If he can do it that much.
I mean, I guess, are you asking like, am I able to physically do that twice a week, or am I able to?
That's what I thought you were saying, because you said you can do it once or twice a week. And
oh, I was more saying that like enough women are attracted to me that I could find a couple of partners.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Not that I do. Just because I can doesn't mean that I do. I'm just saying that like again, we're looking at the numbers.
No, it's and we can, you know, we can do a lot of things. Like I can. Whatever, I could eat a big scoop of kitty litter and be the pee pee poo poo man that we all used to find so funny. And if someone wanted me to do that, I would love to
do it right
again.
Now. Yep. Yeah,
yeah, and I bet you can probably do that two or three times a week.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I do it all the time. That's actually what's funny to me.
Oh, right,
hey, Kevin. Where does that question come from?
That was from Reddit.
Wow. Oh, very cool.
Thanks.
Love those guys.
Okay, here's another one. People my age want to speed up and I want to slow down. So context is I'm 20 and doing a degree and plan to get a job, get some cash, and then decide from then. Now, whenever I talk to my friends, they talk about places they want to live or jobs they're getting, and it just feels like everyone has a goal and is going places. They describe the shit they want to do, and when I do, it just sounds plain stupid. I honestly just want to live comfortably and chill. And when I talk to a lot of people, they all go so fast. I want this and that. They even talk fast, LMAO. Is it weird I don't have goals?
Sorry,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
It just says, is it weird that if I don't have goals, if I need them, how do I find something I want?
They even talk fast. Who wrote this, man? I love this guy.
Brave
Do we know
Union.
This guy's name?
It's
what's
Brave
his name?
Brave Union.
Brave Union. Get new friends.
Wow. So you're saying eliminate those people from your entire life?
Yes. It's called boundaries.
They're
have
suppressives.
Them.
They're suppressive. Yeah. It's called boundaries.
Yep.
It's
you, you don't have to move at the pace of anyone that anyone else is going. You have your drum. We all have our own drums and we march to the beat of them. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at other people's drums, think about a drum kit in front of you. If you're, and there's a, let's say there's a drum kit in front of you and there's a drum kit next to you. Which ones do you think you're going to play better? The ones in front of you or the ones next to you?
I think, well, depending on how close
which
the ones
way
in
are
front
you
of me
facing,
are. Yeah, if
you're, the first
if
drum
right
kit in front of you,
me,
the first
I don't know
drum
if
kit
I could
in front
get
of you,
my
you're
arms
sitting
in
at,
like that.
Yeah, like you're a drummer. Like
it's
you're,
easier to play out to the sides if they're like if the ones in front of me are too close.
So one, I'm sitting on a stool and there are drums facing me with like the drum part that you hit is like right in front of me and I'm holding drumsticks.
Yes.
And it's not like up at chin level or something, right? Because that seems like...
It's a standard band setup of a drum set that you are sitting in front of as if you were the drummer of a band.
And I've got drumsticks?
Yeah.
And the other...
And then next to that, on your side... It's the same drum kit. So two identical drum kits, mind you.
Wow.
But one of them you'll be able to play well, and one of them you'll be able to play not well. And can you guess which one you'd be able to play well?
And you can't
it
move
feels
over?
Like there's going to be a... It no. feels so obvious to
no,
me.
No, you're
now.
Not you allowed move to move.
You're sitting on a chair. It's not a swivel chair. You're sitting on like a desk, like a not like a like a dinner table chair.
And it's my body or I have someone else's body?
It's your body.
Okay. This
sitting
really
and playing drums
there.
In like a in a dining room chair.
Yeah. Just so that it doesn't swivel so that you can understand my point.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm starting to get it.
Okay. Well, then there you go. There's my answer.
That's really interesting. And like it gets at some of the themes of today where people are talking in a way that's like unpleasant to you. Yeah. And if they're talking very fast or they're being extremely loud, what you have to do is delete the program for a little while. You
You mentioned boundaries and I know you have a few projects in the works. Have this one show, I don't want to give away too much, but it's sort of this reality hybrid called Homeward Boundaries. It's almost like a parental control type thing, but it is you go into people's houses and you meet their entire family and you tell them which relatives to cut out of their lives forever.
Wow.
And I thought that was so powerful when I heard it. And I thought if I had that when I was a kid, it's always kids. It's young kids, 11 or 12. And you're going in there and you're setting them on the right path by going like, whatever, your older sister or whatever, she's being toxic. That's now you don't know her anymore. She's a ghost to you. And I saw the sizzle reel that you put together for this, where you went into that one family's house unannounced. You know, they didn't know who you were or what was happening. And you really were able to put physical boundaries in between these people where they couldn't talk to each other. They couldn't even move.
It's a lot of you releasing pets as well. And there were a lot of episodes actually where it seemed like you had done that by accident. And then
you'd give a speech about how it was like a powerful expression of like freedom.
And that the pet was actually like being very toxic and was like and needed to be cut out of your life, but it seemed like you just left the door open. For
you hadn't
the entire
realized
day.
The door was open, and you had kind of tripped over yourself, scrambling to try to get the dog, and kind of cursed about it for a little while, and then you would sort of collect yourself and give a speech about how the pet was a toxic presence.
And I guess that's what Homeward Bound, like the movie, is about. Animals being lost, but I didn't seem like you knew that when you were talking about it.
No.
Yeah, do we know at the beginning of that movie if the reason those animals were lost is because they were set away because they were toxic to their families?
I guess we do know that that's not why. They were the family.
I don't watch movies.
We don't know what was in the cutting
room
floor.
Talk about that. Yeah. Talk about this.
That's powerful.
Me? I don't watch movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just, there are better things to do with my time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you used to, or you just
sure.
You never?
Sure, yeah.
Mr. Pee Pee Poo Poo Man used to be like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. In that phase of my life, I used to watch Poo Poo Pee Pee movies like,
yeah,
you know, whatever, Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
The artist,
mm-hmm. You know, Cars, mm-hmm.
Crash, yeah.
Yeah, Crash, both crashes.
The movie you're calling Cars is actually called Crash.
The one where they...
Cars in it, absolutely, and that's what is having a crash in the movie, but the movie is not
There's Cars, that's the one about the people who get off on car crashes, and then there's Cars 2, which is the one where it's like about racist cops.
Mm. Okay, So that's so interesting. I thought that those movies were both called the same thing, but it was something.
I believe it's Cars and Cars 2, yeah.
But speaking of the messaging of Cars 2, I know you've said that you don't watch movies, but you were telling me that you would be willing to watch movies again once everything is equal.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely.
And what a fun way to celebrate.
You know, I didn't watch Wonder Woman because I'm like, we're not there yet. Good try, but we're not there yet.
And so Kevin,
it's in
you
my
have,
queue.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yep, it's
but until
on my
we're
list.
There, yeah,
do,
that'll be
Kevin,
the first one.
Kevin, do
you
have any
watch.
More question?
Okay, here's one more. I do not know what I have a passion for. So I'm a sophomore majoring in computer science, and I'm really hating it only because I'm bad at programming and realize that I have no interest in it. I do enjoy computers, and all four I have been using them since a young age. Recently, I lost interest in a lot of things being shut down for 6 months. I haven't gone out of my way to look for anything else because I don't know where to start. What should I do?
And this question is actually for you, Mookie.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I would say join the military.
I've heard you say this a few times. So what? So talk a little bit about your.
I think there's no better thing you could do for our great country than serve overseas and defend our freedoms. And they, you know, it gives you the time to sort of go off and fight wars and then come back and know what you want to do more based on what the experiences you have, the traumas you have out there. And come back, and then they give you money to go to college, and then they can just be like, okay, you want to go here? Here's money. So, and I am so grateful of what all of the men and women of the armed forces do for this country, and I respect immensely everyone's freedom to do what they please, even if it's something that I think is bad because of what those people have fought for. So I would tell this person, go join the military, find your nearest military office and sign the paper.
Well, and that leads me to another pilot you're doing, which is basically, it's like you've got this really cool idea for, it's sort of like a drone competition show.
Right.
Do you want to talk a little bit about how it works? Just like, so it's almost like, it's like Wipeout, but you're instead of getting through like an obstacle course, you're wiping out like a city.
Yeah, so it's sort of, and I am working with the United States Armed Forces too, and we are trying to with this, and we are trying to get a Space Force version of it as well. But, we are sort of like sending. It's sort of. I don't want to. I know it's. It almost sounds like too complicated, but is and I.
No,
it's like,
yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like once they give me the money to make it, and I can just make it, and you can see it, and you go, oh, that's what it is. Do you know what I mean?
But
like,
yes.
So the explanation might be a little muddy, but it's basically like, you know, we are giving civilians the access to drones, but they're being coached. So. Civilians fly drones, right? It's sort of like The Voice, but it's like we have, you know, military sergeants and things who they go based on.
Rumsfeld circling it and
yeah. We've got it out to Rumsfeld and Powell and things like that. But
all these guys have their own production companies now.
Yeah. So, you know, based on how well these civilians fly drones, these sergeants, you know, will pick them to be on their team. They will teach them to fly drones. And then it's sort of a drone competition on who can, you know, who can wipe out as many poor innocent people as they can. It's almost kind of like Dark, but
I guess. But I had a meeting with Petraeus's development.
Yeah, and I want to get both you guys in too, possibly woman. for to be writers.
Dude,
that's
that
great.
Would be, yeah,
I was having an idea as you're talking about that. Is they're like watching someone do the drone, and they're like, "Wow, who's doing that?" But you can't see his secret. Secret drone at that point, and then when it's revealed, it's like a really maybe like a skinny guy or something, I don't know, or like something,
yeah, right, like a
yeah,
nerd, like
not,
a Poindexter,
it's,
like
yeah,
a nerd.
It's not who maybe, you would think, yeah, yeah. It's
they're
like
oh, it must be like a jock or something, but it's like a really skinny guy, it's
yeah, like yeah, like a nerd, yeah. It is sort of like The Voice in that way when somebody comes out and has like an incredible voice, and you're like, this person must look like Mariah Carey, and then you turn around and it's somebody who is unconventionally attractive.
It's like a old grandma or something.
Drone footage of the drone. I mean, that's an idea I have, is drone footage of the drone. You get a drone shot of the drones.
Okay, yeah, put that in your packet.
That's going to be in there, yeah. And I have some desk pieces, too, that you could do.
Great, yeah, yeah. Try and throw in a couple impressions, too.
Absolutely. No, I do a lot of the big ones. I do McConaughey, I do Christopher Walken.
And like impressions of like drones and stuff if you can.
I do some drone sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great.
Mookie, your podcast is on TikTok?
No, not at all.
Kind of.
I think maybe you're confusing. So the TikTok and the podcast, while they are integrated brand wise, they are not, they are two separate things. If you want to follow, is this plugs time or is that what you're ramping me up for?
I guess if you want it to.
No, I mean, it's your podcast.
We don't do the plug song. I mean, I can do the plug song for you. I've done it before. We don't do that on this show, but I can. Plugs. Okay. Plugs.
Got it. Well, then I'll just answer your original question. No, my podcast is not on my TikTok.
But it kind of, you were just saying it kind of is.
Sort of is.
Well,
right?
I'm saying, you know, that's a little, those are two different ways that I spread love and positivity. One is short form, one is long form.
So it's really long.
Well, the podcast is about an hour long, yeah. And the TikToks are about anywhere from 10 seconds to a minute long. But and they both are achieving of the same goal, which is spreading of love and positivity upon the world.
And it's called You Are Worthy. And my understanding is that when you were thinking of who the you is and you are worthy, it was the girl listening to this. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's any girl / woman listening of this and any man.
So 6% of your audience.
Yeah. Which is a good chunk. You know what I mean? Like. People wouldn't think that's really that big, but that's like almost as many people as has coronavirus in LA right now.
And they keep saying that's a big problem.
That seems small, but that is actually very big.
Yeah, and everyone's like freaking out about that, and they're like, "Oh, that's so many," but now that's not that many girls.
Yeah,
how can
that
be the same?
Yeah, it's like, why not freak out about this if you're freaking out about that in a good
way? Look at the numbers.
At least do both. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay, this is a lot of people that have coronavirus, and like, holy shit, that's so many girls.
That's a ton of women to be listening to Mookie's show. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like the ICUs of listeners are full of women.
And how can you see that you're like going into your followers and just like, because I know it doesn't show their gender. That would mean you would have to like be looking at each account.
I do.
And
I distribute
like,
my podcast.
That's a girl.
I distribute. Oh, you're saying, you know, how do I know if each individual listener who are the women and who are not?
What their gender is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I distribute my podcast of the website Anchor, and this is, you know, free press for them, but they give me the numbers of, you know, who. Of gender identities of people that I that are listening of my podcast, and it's about we might even be up to 7 or 8% now women.
Wow. And so Anchor says, like, are you a girl?
Yeah. Or
when
yeah.
you're listening
and you either say yes or no. I think that might be how they do it. Yeah.
Okay.
I specifically requested that they ask my listeners that way.
That's powerful.
That's really powerful. Kevin, can we get that one?
Ours only has the options of bay or absolute unit.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
No, we shouldn't have approved that.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
This week on the Patreon, the boys do a teaser freezer for the comeback trail. Asan tells Carl about the hardcore music scene, and the flagrant ones are talking all things basketball. Hear the 5 episodes a week and watch the videos at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.